Winston City Council, January 4th, 2021, 7 p.m.
He is not.
He's not.
Okay. That's it for the roll call. Item C on your agenda, invocation of the newly elected council members. Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I will take the new mayor first. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, David Scott Rutter.
I, David Scott Rutter.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
I solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
The Constitution of the State of Oregon.
The Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And laws thereof.
And laws thereof.
And the ordinances of the City of Winston.
And the ordinances of the City of Winston.
And that I will perform the duties of mayor to the best of my ability, so help me God.
And I will perform the duties of the mayor to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are now sworn in as the new mayor.
Swore at.
Winston, Oregon.
Thank you. But you didn't sign this yet.
No, I have to attest your signature.
Oh, okay. Do that later.
Okay, Lenny, your turn.
No wonder I liked you.
Yeah, well.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Lenny R. Herreras.
I, Lenny R. Herreras.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear that I will uphold the Constitution of the United States of America.
The Constitution of the State of Oregon.
The Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the laws thereof.
And the laws thereof.
And the ordinances of the City of Winston.
And the ordinances of the City of Winston.
And that I will perform the duties of a counselor.
And I will perform the duties of a counselor.
To the best of my ability, so help me God.
To the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations. You are now our new counselor, and here's your sheet.
All right.
I will sign that with you.
Okay.
At the end of the meeting.
Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you, God.
Now, Alan, your turn. Alan Hobson, you have been a tremendous member of our council for the last 4 years, and so we have a couple of parting things for you. We have a card. I'd like to read it to you. Councilor Hobson, Alan, we want to thank you for your 4 years of service on the Winston City Council. During your time on the council, you have accomplished much, serving not only as a council member, but also as the chair of the Urban Renewal Agency, liaison to the Chamber of Commerce, and as the liaison to the county's local public safety coordinating council. All of this, and you still have time to sit on the school board and many other boards within the community. There's no doubt that you have created a better Winston for all of our citizens. Alan, you have truly made a difference, and that is the standard bearer for any public servant. Good luck in your future endeavors, and we will miss you.
Thank you.
Parting gift.
Well, thank you very much.
That hopefully you'll find something to do with it.
Okay. You want me to show it?
Sure. Yes.
There we go.
Very good. Thanks,
cool.
Everybody. This has been an honor for me to serve on this council. I very much appreciate the fact that I've worked with such good people. We have a tremendous administration. We have a great public works, a great police force, and it's quite an honor to be able to sit up there on that council and do something positive. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
So I'm going to read you the letter that we prepared for the mayor. When I first went to the mayor to talk to him about his retirement from the council, and he said, "I don't want any dang plaque." He said, "Just a letter signed by the department head will be enough for me." So this is a letter that we prepared. It says, "Dear Dick, you have dedicated the past 17 years to serving this community by volunteering at the highest level. And by that, we mean 13 years as a city councilor and the previous 4 as mayor. The citizens of Winston have truly benefited by your willingness to serve and to lead. You have shown how much devotion, dedication, and caring it takes in order to provide 17 consecutive years of service to your city. And you've done it with honesty, integrity, and intelligence. You've spent many long days and even longer nights wrestling with the never-ending question, what's best for our citizens? Before you finally realize it actually is never-ending, you may reflect on your years of service and think of one or more occasions that you may not have made the right decision. But remember, you made the decision based on the knowledge you had at that time. You have participated in literally thousands of legislative actions, all with the intention of improving the quality of life for citizens and visitors of Winston. You should be proud of yourself. Even when you needed your backbone, you never forgot your compassion. You have participated in tough decisions and have always been a sounding block for your fellow councilors. As mayor, you have led the council through many difficult times by being strong when you needed to, but also your quick wit would bring humor to the chamber, relieving the tension that comes with making tough decisions. Simply put, we are grateful for all that you have done, and we will miss you. Lastly, we thank you for your wise leadership and wish you and your wonderful wife continued happiness and wellness as you depart public service to the city of Winston. You are city of Winston family."
Very good. Very well good. Done. Okay, moving along. We need at this point, it says on the agenda, to appoint a new council president. And I'll open the floor to nominations for that new council president now. Okay, I'd like to nominate Dave Cunningham.
I'll second that.
Okay, David Cunningham has been nominated for council president. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Congratulations, David.
See, thank you.
I would like on item F to put that on a different meeting night, if we could please, Mr. Bauer.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
We can bring it back at the next meeting.
Adjustments to the agenda, sir?
We have none.
Okay.
I should say, actually, we do have a replacement of the rates, the solid waste rate from Winston Sanitary. We had to make a change on the 20 yard drop boxes. So that should be on your dais. So that would be it.
Thank you. Consent agenda, approval of council minutes for December 7th of 2020.
I make a motion we approve.
Have a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Anyone wishing to speak tonight?
Yes, I would like to speak tonight.
Okay.
Can you give us your name and address?
Yes. Nancy Tisdale, Castle Avenue, Roseburg. I serve on the board for the Winston Dillard Seniors, and our seniors are very anxious about word on when we can open our room again, you know, when we can get together. I have heard kind of through the grapevine that we can meet now, that it's okay for us to meet. So I'm curious as if the council has received any word about this or if there has been any notice. I get the mail, and so I haven't received any notice that we're able to open. I did today. I called Douglas County COVID-19 hotline, and they told me, to their knowledge, we're still shut down because we're a social gathering. They recommended I go to oregon.gov.com for reopening guidelines, which I did, and was undecided on actually which category that we fell in, whether we were considered an organization or a social gathering. So I called the Portland Public Health Department, which was suggested by the guidelines, for any further questions or any clarification. I waited online for over an hour and was finally connected to COVID-19 specialist Suzanne. And I asked her about what category or what group we're in. And she researched our county and said that we fall under social gatherings and we can only have 6 people inside our room from 2 different households. And I explained to her that we have, you know, we've stopped having our board meetings and everything, and seniors aren't getting to do anything. But I explained to her that the building is owned by the city, and the building has a grand room, a teen center, library, and our senior room. And she said all are considered in the social gathering group. And from this information I received today, we may not reopen. And I just want to know if this is the city, the counselors' opinion that we still can't open. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Nancy. It sounds like you spent a lot of hard work today, Your Honor.
Well, I was on the phone for quite a long time.
Good, good. Mr. Bauer, you have a comment, please?
I do. It was my understanding that when we moved from the extreme level down to the high level, that you could begin meeting again by meeting the spatial requirements, which means that you can have one person based on how many square feet you have in your building.
I did ask Specialist Suzanne in regards to that, and she said no. She researched Douglas County and said that did not apply to us, that we are only a social gathering and can only have 6 people indoors for no more than 2 households.
Can we get some documentation on that so that we have it here?
Yes.
In print so we can see it?
Yeah.
I mean, we'd love to open. We'd love to open, but we don't want to do anything that's going to get the city in trouble or get us in trouble.
So I will do some additional research. It was my understanding that you could open, and that the other categories, the other 2 categories, actually fall into different areas from the information that I received. So, but the seniors specifically, I was under the understanding that you could go back if you could meet, you know, just meet the spatial requirements for your room.
Yes, sir. Well, they both the Douglas County Health Department and the Portland Public Health Department, they both said no, that we can't.
Okay. I will find out some
further information. I'll go to the governor's office tomorrow and find out, and I will contact you.
I would appreciate that very much, because you can imagine we're losing some of our seniors left and right, and some of them have just been indoors for a long time, but we don't want to do anything to jeopardize them, especially now with the vaccine on the horizon, because most of them are over 65.
Thank you.
Yes, I will contact you tomorrow, Nancy, and let you know what the governor's office says.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Nancy.
Mark, it might be an idea to double check then with the teen center and the library.
Yeah, because that's the first time I've heard that the teen center and library fall under social gathering. The teen center more correctly falls under youth activities, which is allowed to open.
But we better double check.
One person for every 36 square feet. So it's limited, but it is my understanding that both that and the library are available or can open. So.
Well, I think that we need it clarified in print.
Yes.
I hate this verbal stuff. Everybody gets a different opinion of it when it's in print and it comes from the governor or from the health, whatever. Let's have it in print so we all have it.
Yeah, I'll contact the local government liaison tomorrow and get it from him. And that would be the correct information.
Okay, anybody else want to speak? Okay, reports, boards, commissions, committees, and schools. Mr. Vandermark, what do you got for us?
So first of all, I just want to thank Alan and Dick for their years of service. It's been an honor to sit here for the year or so I've been a student representative for the council. And congratulations to the new mayor and councilor.
Thank you.
So I only have two short items on the agenda tonight. I just wanted to mention that school is now back in session from winter break. We are currently, the safe harbor deadline just passed, so I believe they're going to make a decision now on whether or not we're allowed to remain open for the rest of the year. In person, I should say. We're going to be doing in distance or in person. Right now, we're in a mix of both. So they're making that decision, I believe, soon. That may have changed, but from what I've heard recently, the deadline was today. I was also just going to mention that as of mid-December, the committee for the preservation of the wall has generated around $9,000.
What's the goal?
So to just pick up the wall and put it on a cement slab will cost $10,000, and to put in any additional structures around that, whether that's a roof on top or benches to help, you know, celebrate the wall and actually commemorate it with the school, it would cost another $10,000. So we fall just short of the budget just to move the wall, and we're looking to generate more for actually decorating the area surrounding it. And the timeline to do so is by the end of February.
Wow.
So that's kind of the time crunch we're running into right now, is just raising that money while we still have time to do so.
Can the covering and the rest of it come at a later time?
I would assume so, yes. I imagine as long as we can raise the money that they agreed to actually do the work, the company who's working on the school.
Okay. At least they can save the wall.
Yes. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Vandermark. Department reports. Chief Sardi.
Your Honor?
Yes.
We have the Planning Commission recommendation for appointment.
Oh, I thought that was okay. I'm sorry. Planning Commission recommendation for appointment. It's right there in black and white too.
Now, Stephen Johnson, it's on page 6 of your packet.
Hey, will you quit?
Okay. Steve Johnson, and I'm sorry, but I don't have any information on his background. But he is recommended by Mr. Price, who is the chair of the Planning Commission.
And you're in attendance, correct? Are you?
I don't believe he's here tonight.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess I need a motion then to approve this recommendation for the appointment to the City Planning Commission.
I make a motion that be appointed to the City Planning Commission.
I have a motion. You second, please?
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Now,
thank you.
Chief Sardi, please.
Mayor, Council, community members. So I don't have a whole lot to report, but since Lenny has not been on our email thread for the weekly activities and stuff, I'll kind of just give a little background on what we've been doing. This year we started our inventory of our evidence and disposal, which is a big process we go through to make sure that everything's accounted for, everything is processed through the courts, and disposed of properly. It's a fairly intensive job to do. It takes us about a week, 2 weeks to go through and do. So we got that completed, which was, it's always good to do once a year. Those are always things that get hung up on or legalities and issues that occur with evidence, and we want to stay above reproach on that. During our downtime through the COVID stuff, I had all the officers do their police one online training. It's something that we do to keep our certifications up to speed. It's a lot of hours worth of online training that they do that Police One puts on for us, and it's known nationally, the training. We also did our residency IC updates, and then I also put the patrol staff back on shift to go out and do self-initiated activities and find things. So they're back up and running. I'm kind of excited to get them out of my building, so, or power building. Some good news, the radio issue that we've been having, the county, I reported last council meeting that they turned on the antenna up there on top of Galaxy, and I've had nothing but good responses from patrol, so
good.
It is working.
Good. This whole time then wasn't turned on?
Yeah, there was some, so I'm not techno-savvy on it, but in a nutshell, the data, it's underground. It's a one-way system. It's called a standalone repeater, which is only, it's directional. So it's not going to help us hearing dispatch any better, but it's going to help dispatch hear us on a portable. Where we were getting limited to zero, transmit in a house, we couldn't even get out to dispatch. That's been around since 96, since I've been here. It's always been that way. And I just kind of got used to it, but it's something that needed to be fixed. With that being said, it is working really good. We're able to hear dispatch. It might have solved our problems. It doesn't alleviate the fact that we have to replace the radio systems. Those have to go, they have to change out. We're due. They're about 17 years old. They've been a great system. I wish I could keep them, but they quit making the parts for them. And as they go down, we're going to have to replace them. My plan is to do that when we purchase a vehicle each time. So that's my goal, if they can last it that long. So about a month ago, we had damage done to our radar trailer where they spray painted it. They pulled on some of the wiring, ripped some of the wiring out, did some damage that I didn't see. So we did some in-house work and went to, I think it was Douglas Glass, and they cut us out some new clear pieces to go in the window. And I had our ordnance officer put it together. Thought we had it fixed, but then realized, wait a minute, some of the cables are loose, and started looking a little deeper and found out some of those are all pulled apart too. So just got a call today. It's going to be back up and running, hopefully. So I'll get it charged up and get it out on the street somewhere.
Was that the one that was parked out here?
No, that one there is ready to go to the junkyard.
Okay.
So I did some follow-up on with all the principals at the school district, along with the superintendent, on how our SROs are doing. They are really excited having two. I was questioning that, with two being the district size that we are, but they really like the fact that there's two different personalities. One's an OSP retired guy that has a different personality than a city officer that's retired. and they're bringing a lot to the table. We've seen different groups, and I was actually going to ask Vandermark if he's heard any good or bad things about the SROs. So.
I've heard mostly positive things about them. I know for some students they wish there was a female SRO on campus, but I know that's something that couldn't be helped. So.
Yeah, I mean, the way that this program is designed is for retired guys that still have the certifications, and then, you know, they're kind of one of those guys that you can just put out, or girls if we have one, that can just go out and do the job without very little management.
Absolutely.
Yeah, job, so.
Is this something that Sandy Koperstein could be involved in?
Not anymore, no. And that's union stuff and contractual issues there.
Okay.
We're not paying her what her officer wage was. And so I did keep her certified because we got about $100,000 in training in her, and she's about ready to decertify. So I kept her certified as administrative assistant, but that's to use for disaster, you know, some sort of disaster, officer death, something where I need to utilize her. I can put her on the street. She keeps up on her training and all that to stay certified. So that's kind of where I wanted to be. I didn't want to have her out doing stuff with the booth in a police car at a function with a lot of people with no weapon. I don't think it's a good idea. And the first year that we were doing it, 13 different functions, I felt obligated to either be there or having someone there with her, and that alleviates some of that issue too. And she can handle criminal activities that come about at that time. So that's why I did that. Other than that, that's all I have. Do you have any questions?
Do you have any idea when you might be starting on your parking lot?
So the bids go out on
January.
They're out now. They're going to be collected, I think, on the 7th.
Yes.
The 7th, yeah, they have the opening or whatever you call it. I don't know what you call it, but
the bid opening.
The bid opening, they'll get collected, and we'll have some ideas where we're going to be on that.
And do you have any projection when you go buy another patrol car?
I don't plan on buying any car. I mean, I made some, you know, my first decision 2 years ago was to eliminate some of our cars, which I did. It was probably a mistake for me, but we're working through it. I put us to a 3-car plan. We've always ran a 4-car plan. But I took my 4th car and made it a canine, so it's assigned to a guy. And with 2 school cops now, it's a juggle. But that's what I have sergeants for, and they're juggling it, making it work. So I don't plan on purchasing one until probably next year. These Dodges have been really good, no problem. So I've been happy with them.
That's what we were scheduled, right, to purchase it in the 3rd year.
Right.
2022.
So have the loans been paid back then for the...
So we still owe 152.
Yeah, 153, I think, when you round it up. But it will be paid or can be paid back at the end of this year.
Yeah, our goal is to use that money right now to pay off our debt.
Right.
Be debt free, start building for the next car, so we're not backwards in it. We're going to be forwards in it, and then we'll be able to buy one car a year, and not hurt the city on budget. That's the plan.
Good.
And just one point of interest. When we talked about paying back a loan, it's a loan that was made within city funds. It's not from an outside bank or anything like that. So technically, we were paying kind of cash to pay ourselves back.
Right. And I think there's interest on it, too, is my understanding.
There's interest on it.
So they're actually making money on our money. So.
Right. Which is your money that we give to you to pay for us. That's a wash.
And so, yeah, that we'll pay back that loan, and we should have enough money to almost...
Well, the cars right now, so I just priced one. I keep an eye on all equipment and everything, just kind of keep that in the back of my mind, try to get the best buy. And cars are, I mean, they're up there. We're at 52,000 for the bunch we bought this time. We're up close to 60. What were they when you were the sheriff? How much? How much were they? Do you remember? 30,000?
It's been long enough. Yeah. I hate to even guess.
So, yeah, I mean, 28,000, 27,000, what we used to buy a car for. So they're just really moving up in price. So.
Well, Chief, could you introduce the
sheriff? I can't remember his name. I do not remember his name, but I do. I met him out on the street when I was working patrol doing the school zone, and he's a retired sheriff from Josephine County. I do know that.
Dave Daniel.
Dave, okay. That's right. I had to think of it for a minute.
Welcome.
Yeah, so. Anyways, that's all I have. Do you have any questions?
Your Honors.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yep.
There was something that I overlooked. I'd like to make right now, and I wanted to introduce your beautiful wife, who is sitting over here in the wall. And we'll be supporting you for your membership.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Carla. Okay, Mr. Bauer, administration, please.
I have nothing in addition to the weekly report. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, no old business, new business. Accept the resignation of the city council from Ward 2 and declare a council vacancy. I quit. How are we going to advertise this, Mr. Bauer?
Yeah, former Councilor Rutter's position is now vacated as he took the mayor's chair tonight. So we will tomorrow start our advertising campaign to advertise the opening to the community. And probably we'll set a 2-week time frame, which would be your next meeting. But you'll probably take action on, once we get the information from potential candidates, we'll give those to you to review. And then the fall, the next meeting, the first meeting in February, is when we will take action.
Okay. Well, do we need to do that in the executive session or not open, or open to public?
I'll have to research that and see if you can do that in the executive session or not. But
it's not really a personnel issue.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those gray areas, and I'm not 100% sure on if you can do that or not. But you should have, hopefully, you should have their resumes at your next meeting. So if you can do an executive session, we'll set one for that.
Yeah, I would, if it is possible, I'd prefer an executive session.
That's assuming we get more than one applicant.
That's correct.
Is that an elected position or is that appointed?
That's an appointed position at this time. There's 2 years left on my term. And so, but you live on the wrong side of the street. And we really don't want nepotism on the council.
Yeah.
I might make a suggestion. I served on council with Laura Duncan, and she's now retired, and she's very good at the job. And if it's only 2 years, she might be interested.
Ask her to apply.
She may be picking, I've already been talking to her about, okay? And she said that she's going to be stopping in and picking up an application.
Perfect.
So the way it works is that now the position is vacated or advertised, the council will appoint a person to fill that position. They'll fill it until the next election, and then they'd have to run for election if they want to keep the position.
Okay. Business licenses. We have Elemental Construction, Jeff's Auto Repair, PFA Tax Services, Plan B Contracting, I like that name, and Branch Suds. These all been approved, Chief?
I believe so, yes. I remember checking some of them off.
I read through it and said that they had all been
approved.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we can approve these all in one motion if we choose to. Any questions of the applications? Okay, need a motion, please, to approve the business licenses.
Make a motion that we accept the business licenses.
Okay, we have a motion. And a second. Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations to those folks. Resolution 21975, Tourism Brand and Style Guide Approval. Have you looked at that yet, Lenny?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had the opportunity to look over it a few times, and Anvil did the work, and it looks really, really good. Mark, you guys have made some changes. I don't know what the last ones were, but this.
The last changes we made were just adjusting the images, the cheetah image, to make it look a little more like a cheetah, and then putting an outline.
Do you want to look at this?
the logo.
Any questions on the style, on the branding, the style guide?
If I may, I need to read it by the title only.
Well, look at you, getting all official.
Yeah.
Mr. Bauer.
So, please. Resolution number 21-975. Resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council approving the tourism brand and style guide prepared by Anvil Northwest for use on all city tourism information, advertising, promotion, and marketing documents, periodicals, and other approved uses. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Staff report?
The staff report is the same as I gave at the last meeting. Anvil prepared this. It was Anvil worked in partnership with the city's task force on this project, and the task force provided a lot of detailed information to Anvil in order for them to produce these documents for us. They were exceptional to work with. They came up with really good ideas from our comments about Winston and tourism around the city and in the city. And these are the documents that they produced. So the first page is just a cover sheet for the packet for the style guide. It goes into, this would be the primary logo. And when we got into it, actually, the Wander Winston came up from one of the task force members. That's where we got that from, as we looked at a number of different taglines for the logo. So the rest of it just details. So like if we wanted to go into a periodical and advertise in some kind of a periodical, we would send them this style guide. And that would tell them the colors they can use, what combinations of colors they can use, the size that it has to be depending upon the print matter that it's going on. Different symbols that can be used for different events. So, you know, we can have, you could use a guitar or a piece of melon, trees, a fish, depending upon what the event is that we're trying to get out to tourists. So it tells them at the same time what they can't do. And that's very important to our brand, is to make sure that the brand stays within the rules of the style guide. So that's what we have to date in regards to this process. The next step would be to look at adding either a link or a page to our website, our city website, for tourism. And that would have a lot of this information on it. All of this information would be on there. Plus, you know, events, dates, calendars, you know, all that kind of information. So the big issue with, as we move forward, is the time that it takes to keep the thing updated. So we will be looking at how we will accomplish that as we move forward. But at least at this time, depending upon what events are going on, we now have rules on how different agencies could use this. So if the Chamber of Commerce or the Events Committee wants to do something, they can use this information. We can use our hotel motel tax dollars to fund these promotions towards any event. Can't fund the event itself, but we can fund the promotion, marketing, and PR.
We can fund things like infrastructure to hold the bills. So, for example, if we needed to upgrade the restroom, the old restroom part at Riverbend Park, we could do that with tourism dollars. So, we now have some tools to work with, and I think we're on our way to developing a pretty well put together tourism plan.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Comments from the audience? Anybody wish to speak about it? Mrs. Rutter.
You need to stand
up to the podium. State your name and address, please. Some people's kids.
My name is Carla Rutter, and I live with him. 227 Northeast Main, I'm sorry. I was just looking over his shoulder at this, and you had the Wonder Winston in the kind of the rectangle shape. And then on the back couple pages, there was a round one. What's the difference, and why would they be used?
That's for youth programs, youth events.
Oh, okay.
Just another way of using our brand to support youth
okay.
programs.
That was my only question.
Thank you for your interest. Council, any questions from you guys? Thanks, Bev. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay, looking for a motion on resolution 21975.
I make the motion that we approve it as read.
I second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Resolution 21976, Winston sanitary rate increase. Mr. Bauer, please.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, and members of the audience. Resolution number 21976. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon, City Council amending Exhibit A of Ordinance 543 and approving rate increases for solid waste collection by Winston Sanitary Service. And a little information regarding Winston Sanitary. We've had a contract with them since, I think, 1984. Is that about right, Steve?
Yeah, but the current, it actually extended further than that.
Well,
but in the current, the owners previously that owned it and myself, it's been since 84.
So Winston Sanitary holds a franchise for the City of Winston, and we have a franchise with them for the collection of solid waste and recycling material in the city. The last rate increase was approximately 5 years ago, it was in 2015. But as you've all read in the paper, the county has raised its tipping rates, which is another term for dumping. But for their rates of dumping solid waste at the landfill. So with that, and at the same time, after 5 years, Winston Sanitary has higher operating overhead than it had 5 years ago. One of the major elements is medical insurance for them. So they've been seeing double-digit medical insurance rate increases compared to the city, who is in a large pool with all the other cities in the state. And we've been seeing very low increases in our rates, but for smaller organizations, their rates have really been jumping. So that's the reason for the increase. You have the rates on your dais. There was one change to the original submittal, and that was on the second page, the 20-yard drop boxes. The county just hadn't yet developed their increase until recently. So Mr. Steve Evans is the owner of Winston Sanitary, and he's here in the audience to answer any questions you might have regarding the rates. So with that would conclude my staff report. We have one sheet that shows you a comparison
between what they're currently charging and what the proposed increase is. And then we have an Exhibit A, which will replace the exhibit in the ordinance, which just has the new rates on the proposed new rates on it. That's why the reason for the two different rate sheets. And with that, I would turn it to you if you have any questions.
Any comments from the audience on the rate increase from Winston Sanitary?
I just have one question. Steve, are you with the city and Winston Sanitary, is that a locked-in contract for the pricing, and is that for a certain amount of time? Is that, obviously it hasn't been 5 years since there's been a rate increase, so.
Yes, it's not necessarily locked in. I cannot just raise the rate without coming through council and stuff, and like what, you know, that's, so to a point it is not locked in, but it cannot be changed without coming back through council.
Steve, just a quick question here. And I just picked one here, the 35 gallon.
Yes.
For the 3 months, and you bill on the quarterly.
Yes.
And so it'd be approximately $11.20 increase. We'll round it to 11 bucks.
Okay.
And then out of that 11 bucks, how much of that is to cover the increase of the county fee increase? And then how much of that will be going to increasing your costs to cover your own personal expenses, excluding the dumping fee?
Okay, as far as there was a minor adjustment between the 35 gallon cans and the 95 gallon cans for sake of stopping the abuse of the system. Originally, the 35 gallon cans was just a 32 gallon can because I recently went automated in the last 2 years, and it's a 35 gallon can, and then the next step is 65 gallon, and the next step is 95 gallon. I was having troubles with people taking the 35 gallon can saying, well, it's cheaper for me to buy two 35 gallon cans than it is to buy a 65 gallon can. And so they were doing that in every place else in the county. Other haulers have made that adjustment where the people don't abuse that. So there is $2 that I swung. The 35 gallon cans were $2 higher, and the 95 gallon cans are $2 lower on the set fee of them. So the part, that couple dollars of that is from that change in itself. Not just the percentage on the dumping.
That makes sense.
Okay.
And so the actual dump fee on the, so the actual monthly charge is going to be $18.50, and $8 of that is actually going to just the dumping fee itself. So there's only $10 a month that actually goes to dumping that can each time.
And that's the cost of the county?
The cost of the county is $8 a month.
$8. So then the profit line, using largely speaking, is $10 per month for you guys.
It's not profit, it's
Well, I understand,
cost.
I'm just talking operating yes. cost, profit.
The part to run my business, yes.
Right.
And when I took it over, when we were just doing cans, the actual rate was $9.50. a month per can, and that was without automated equipment, that was, you know, without dumping fees or anything. So, you know, I'm still operating at basically the same money I was.
I see. So
the extra money just covers the extra cost.
Okay, so your cost of operation, excluding the dumping fees, is about the same as it was prior to.
Yes.
Okay. I just want a little clarification.
Oh, absolutely. No,
So, Steve, the county's charge for dumping that 35-gallon can prior to this rate increase was around $4?
It was $4 to $5 right in there. You know, you're running on average can sizes, you know, weights. You know, the rates are actually based on a 30-pound can. And if you'll notice in the 1.5 and the 1 yards, originally they were They were based on a 200-pound, one-yard container, and that was par from DEQ recommendation. Since then, I kind of found out that that was a little high, and I actually based these, the new rates, off of 190 pounds for a one-yard can. So I made some adjustments to try to make as thin a cut as I could as far as making the money to cover things and adjusting it how it should be.
Okay, and the other question I had on this, and I don't know how you guys differentiate this, but when I come by and pick up my trash in the morning, and I have a 35-gallon can. Yep. The guy across the street has a 65-gallon can. It goes into one dump truck.
Yes.
So how do they determine then splitting the cost between the 35 and the 65-gallon can when it's all going into the same reservoir?
The difference in cost comes from the cost and dumping fee, which then it would be based on a 60-pound can instead of a 30-pound can. And the other thing is you don't get, you know, as you see the step between a 35-gallon can and a 34-gallon can isn't a full $18 because, you know, you're just using a bigger can. So you get rid of some of the cost there. But it is in the dumping fee, and
So essentially, he's charging it based on a volume and weight for the different sizes. What ends up actually in that can, let's say that you're gone for a week and you only fill your 65 half full, you still get charged for the full amount because you have the capability to fill that every time.
And the other operating cost difference is that you can put a lot more 35-gallon cans in a truck than you can 65-gallon cans, you know, if they're full. And stuff. So a cost on a 65-gallon can has to be a somewhat higher, because if you ran all 65-gallon cans and they were the same cost, you'd end up going to the dump more and your expenses would be more.
Okay, because I just couldn't figure out how you could tell a 65-gallon can to a 35-gallon can.
It's probably measured on average cubic feet.
Average cubic feet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have volumes on it. And actually, the new cans we have, if you look up the numbers on the back, a 35-gallon can starts with an 035. A 65-gallon can starts with an 065 and stuff. So, you know, they're dimensionally gallon per gallon. They're, you know, they measure them by gallons is how they do. So, you know, you should theoretically be able to put 65 gallons of water in the can, where a 35, you can only put 35 gallons.
Can you pick up 65 gallons of water?
That would probably be pushing, you're talking, almost a 500-pound can?
Yeah.
Yeah, a gallon of water is what, 5.68 pounds, something like that?
7 something.
Yeah.
Unless it's lead water.
7.48 gallons per cubic foot, 8.34 pounds per gallon.
There you go.
Wow.
Well, off the top of his head, too.
I know. That was pretty impressive.
That's why you get the big bucks. Okay, any comments from the audience? Any more comments from council? Council action, please, on resolution 21976.
I make a motion that we approve resolution 21-976.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Resolution 21977 amends Eastside Sewer and Pavement Project agreement with Civil West Engineering. Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, and the audience that's with us tonight. Resolution number 21-977. Resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to amend Civil West engineering agreement for the Eastside Sewer and Paving Project, adding $65,000 for construction management services. And Public Works Superintendent Andy Howell will brief also with us. Is our engineer, Will.
Mayor, Council, good evening. Members of the audience. So this has been another project, spending some time coming. So we're here now talking about the Eastside Paving Sewer Project. So Amendment 1 to Civil West Engineering is for the construction management and inspection services needed for the Eastside Sewer Paving Project. Civil West will provide the necessary construction management and support to ensure that a great design results in a great finished product. This is a substantial investment that we are making into the city infrastructure as we undertake the construction of approximately 1,400 feet of 8-inch sewer main lines, 6 new sanitary sewer manholes, 35 sanitary sewer laterals, storm system improvements, and the painting of Ronald, Jorgen, and Theodore. Civil West's scope of work will include the project management, administrative services, the construction management services, construction observation inspection for the sewer, the construction management, construction observation inspection services for the paving, and the closeout services. There will be some reimbursables for their office work and administration aspects also. Kind of the breakdown of it is the project management administration aspect is $3,602. The construction management services is $10,032. The construction observation inspection services is $33,360. And for the paving aspect of that services is $13,400. The project closeout services are $2,940. The reimbursables are $1,666. For the proposed budget amendment amount is $65,000. Staff recommends council approve amendment one for the amount of $65,000. $13,400 will be reimbursed from the street grant project, $51,600 from the sewer mainline replacement account. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
So this all comes from the sewer?
Yeah, the 51,600 from the sewer and 13,400 will be from our street aspects of it. The street, we have $206,000 from our street grant fund, so we can utilize that $206,000 for the paving.
And this bid's already been let?
Yeah, Cradar got this bid for $630,000.
Right, that was last month, yeah. Or something, okay.
And so tomorrow we'll be doing, at 2:00 we'll be doing the signing for the, getting the dates for the start of the construction.
Okay.
So that'll be happening at City Hall tomorrow.
When Herbalay was running over their budget, were they notifying us at the proper time that they were running over the budget and giving an explanation to why?
This was, that was a pretty long process, and it was very frustrating. And I know that's one part of this thing that's taken so long. It was put us a year and a half, almost 2 years behind. And basically, it becoming just a change of never really fulfilling his end of the duties. So we ended up actually pulling a part of that paving off just to get this thing done.
That's not my question. The question is, did they keep you informed that they were running over the budget at the time?
I think we discussed it somewhat.
I can probably answer that a little bit better. Will Dawson, Civil West Engineering, Mayor, Councilor. He really did verbally tell us that he was over budget on several occasions throughout the process. We talked, there were several times where, you know, we met with him probably 15 to 20 times to try to get this to move forward and have him fulfill his obligations. At one point, he sent us an amendment for about $10,000. We talked about it and decided to go ahead and pay him out of our contract amount that we already had under contract with the city, just to keep the project moving along. We thought that would be the end of it. We'd get the plans, we'd be able to move on, bid, advertise, and move the project forward. There was another stalemate towards the end of the project where there was another about $15,000 to $18,000 that he wouldn't release the plans until we paid him that money. So I guess the answer is yes, he did ask for the money after he had already spent it, but not necessarily, you know, why he was incurring the cost.
But is there a reason that you weren't pre-warned that he was going to do it instead of waiting until it was after it was done and the increase has occurred?
Yeah, I think it was just poor communication on his part.
Then we should be responsible for his poor communication?
No, not at all.
I'm just not too happy with that.
No. If I may, Your Honor, he basically held us hostage on the plans. He would not release the plans. We didn't know what the overages were until, as Will indicated, he was near the where's the plans? He was way over on time, and he wouldn't release the plans to us, and we would have had to start completely over with the paving aspect of the plan. And Civil West had to, in the end, complete the paving, the end of it. It wasn't a complete set of plans. They had to redo them. They weren't very clear, poorly written.
Do we have any legal recourse?
We always can bring legal action back against the engineer on this issue. Problem with it is that the cost of the court process will exceed what we would get back from him, potentially.
So and there is no.
Might equal out, but at least would say, hey, we aren't accepting. Well,
you know, that's going to.
Is that what you're getting at?
Would that put his stamp at risk?
If we went into litigation and won, it could potentially, but it would be a separate action through the board. So that, you know, usually not one claim will, you know, make him where he can't stamp plans. It usually takes about three hits against him. I don't know where he's at in his career, if he's ever had any other litigation or anything.
And there is no penalty clause in the contract?
The contract for engineering was, our contract was with Civil West. Civil West held the contract with Heberle to do the pavements and so on.
And you did not have a penalty clause?
We did have a penalty clause, but same thing. It would cost us more to go to court and engage an attorney than it would, you know, just essentially for us to eat the cost.
Then that man can go on and do it again and again and again.
It was very, very frustrating for staff, myself, and for everybody involved.
Well, somebody dropped the ball. Being quite blunt about it.
We're obviously not going to use him on the next one.
No.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, so. We won't.
Okay.
But we are, we've tried a number of engineers, local engineers, to help on some of these projects, and our next step is to go to like Portland to get additional engineering support, because we just have not found. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we've run into in the past, mm-hmm. as well. I was really surprised because he did our pavement management plan for us, and he did a really good job on that. And it did take him an extended length of time to complete that, but he did it, and I was happy with the work that he did, and we did not expect anything like this. He was also the engineer on the Looking Glass Creek phase three. And in order for them to get their sewer line approved, they would go to him and ask him, because their sewer line didn't pass. It had grade problems with it. They had to dig up and replace a number of feet, I don't know how many, but quite a few feet of sewer line. They'd ask him, and then it would fail again. So they asked their engineer, Heberle, what do we do? And he said, figure it out. And he wouldn't give him an answer. So we ended up providing the engineering support to get that project off dead center for the owner in order for him to move forward and complete the utility design. So that was that was happening at the same time. So that was when before that we never had any kind of issue.
Okay, any comments from the audience? Any more questions from council?
I don't know if it costs as much to jump on this, but yet again, we're letting someone go on to do it again and again and again because you can get away with it.
Is this the Teflon theory?
Yeah.
He's going to stick to him until somebody finally does?
Yep. But we're stuck.
Okay. 21977, looking for council action, need a motion.
So in other words, you're on the hook for $65,000.
We had a contract with the city that began in July of 19, and I think it was for about $87,000 to do plans, and they were supposed to get us all the way through the inspection and everything. We ended up paying them our portion of the inspection fees just to complete the plans. So we're at the point now where we've got, you know, we're getting ready to start construction, and we're completely out of budget because we exhausted it managing and paying him additional money. So moving forward to do the construction management inspection, I estimate that it'll take about $65,000, which is in alignment of kind of industry standard. It's 10-15% of construction budget. Construction budget was $630,000. So we're right in the ballpark for construction management inspection on the project.
And what happens with the engineers? Is all the plans are ready to go?
We've already advertised and awarded the project. Tomorrow we're going to meet with the contractor and give them a notice to proceed.
Okay.
So kind of in a nutshell, what this portion of the engineering part of the project is, the inspection, making sure that the lines are installed properly with the proper bedding, the right material, the proper compaction, and then the pavement, the same thing, proper compaction of the base, and the asphalt. And without that services, if you want to drive through Looking Glass Creek Phase 1, which is a fairly new road service, you will see a road that looks like it's about 30 years old because we didn't have any construction management services. And the road base just wasn't properly done. And so there's spider cracking, major spider cracking all over that road.
So what you're saying is that you already paid them the $65,000.
I think we paid them about $35,000, and then there was some additional costs. They basically, it exacerbated all of our money that we had allocated.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So if you got the $65,000 from us tonight, all right, you're going to let dead dogs lie or sleeping dogs lie and not go after them at all?
Correct. We've already paid him and closed out his part of the contract. We're going to take on the inspection services moving forward, and he won't be involved in the project.
So in other words, you're rolling over and playing dead.
So who really could litigate this? From what position? Could we do that, or does Civil West need to do that?
That'd be a question for our attorney. I don't know, because we didn't hold a contract with Hebrew. We held a contract with Civil West. So we'd have to go after Civil West. Civil West would have to go
over. Yeah, don't want to do that.
Yeah.
That makes it...
It makes it very complicated.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not fair to you in a way.
Okay, council action, please. Met resolution 21977.
Could we hold it until Mark does a little more research on it, or do you want to make the decision tonight?
At this point, I don't believe there's any more research we could do on it. This is the estimated cost of what it's going to take to complete the project.
Still looking for a motion. Is this going to die for lack of a motion?
No, I'll make a motion with severe reservations.
I have a motion with severe reservations.
I'll second.
You have reservations or just regular ones?
I think that we just got to get the project finished and completed.
Yeah. That's kind of where I am with
it,
too.
I
okay, I got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you. There you go.
Please don't let that happen again.
Resolution 21978, city-owned property surplus. Title only.
Mr. Bauer.
Thank you, Your Honor, members of council, and members of the audience. Resolution number 21-978, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council declaring a portion of city-owned property known as City Hall adjacent to the Oregon Department of Transportation right-of-way at 201 Northwest Douglas Boulevard as surplus property. So this project brought to us by the state, they're redoing all the curb returns. The corner here at Glenhart does not have proper site distance. It has site distance issues, so they need 410 square feet of our property, and it's kind of a funny angle because it comes down Glenhart about to our driveway entrance and goes around in front about halfway to the drinking fountain. So it's an odd-shaped piece. All of the appraisal work has been done by the DOT right-of-way group. So we have the terms of their offer, $1,450 for the 410 square feet out front in order for them to complete their curb return project. So
is that going to negatively affect the water fountain?
No, it will not, Your Honor. I don't believe. No, it doesn't. It doesn't go all the way.
That's a monument, isn't it?
It is. It's a monument to Dr. Vandermark. I think it's your grandfather.
Yes.
So in order to do this, tonight what you are doing is authorizing us to follow the procedure for purchase of public property. And I've outlined that in the bullets. So council has to declare the property as surplus. There's no hearing or advertisement is required at this step. If the property is within 100 feet of a railroad, it's not. City will obtain an appraisal. That's already been done through the Department of Transportation, so we could get a second one, but it probably cost us about what we would get for the property. So governing body must hold at least one hearing on the sale prior to closing the transaction. At least 5 days before the hearing, the city must publish a notice of the proposed sale and hearing in the newspaper. The notice must state the time and place of the hearing, general description of the property, the proposed uses of the property. At the hearing, the nature of the proposed sale and terms must be disclosed. Then we would enter into a PSA with the buyer and permit the buyer, they've already completed their due diligence, and then close the sale. So tonight what you're doing is declaring the property surplus, and then we would start this process to have a public hearing, hold a public hearing on it. And close the process.
Do you have any reservations, Mark, about that piece of land?
I don't. I mean, it's a necessary need. All of our current curb returns that they're replacing don't meet ADA requirements.
Right.
So it's a project that they have to complete. The only issue we would have is if you don't believe that, or if you believe the property is worth more, we could go back and
$65,000.
Yeah. So, you know, that would be the only thing is if you want to, when we get there, if you want to negotiate a higher price.
And it's kind of a positivity thing, though, that we're getting that done, not at the city cost, too, right?
It is, but it's their right of way, their responsibility.
Okay.
With our property.
Yes.
Okay, that's the staff report as well?
That's the staff report.
Comments from the audience on the surplus of this property? Council action. Do I have a motion to allow Mr. Bauer to proceed with this surplusing of the property?
I make a motion that we proceed.
A motion for a second?
A second.
So a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Upcoming agenda items, change orders for the new treatment plant office and break room, and property surplus generator and catering items. Non-agenda items from counselors and council. Y'all have anything you want to give Mr. Bauer grief for? We need to, I think we need to take a look at the URA and who's going to be charged with those responsibilities as far as the president, since
that will come at your next URA meeting on the third Thursday of the month.
Okay. The 21st. And then I believe that we need to take a look at franchise fees for utilities in the city that aren't already being assessed those. I realize it's a pass-through, but these fees need to be covered by somebody. So could we start that process by looking at the various...
We certainly can.
...utilities?
Yep, we certainly can.
Okay. Anybody else have anything you want to offer? Okay, the good of the order, the check copies and claims in excess of $500 bring your packet. Announcements, January 13th. Economic development at noon at City Hall. Would you please take care of that?
Of course.
Time? Thank you. Martin Luther King Day, January the 18th, city offices will be closed. Tuesday, January 19th, city council right here at 7 p.m. And 21st, urban renewal, 3 o'clock, City Hall. Executive session, Mr. Bauer?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you and good night.
Meeting adjourned at 8:17 p.m.